what would have even put in their mind that they should venture out and go search for this Messiah? Well, there are four things that probably was true. Number one, Daniel, the prophet, lived in the land where the wise men were. And if you go back and read Daniel chapter 9, you will read about the fact that Daniel prophesied about a Messiah. Daniel talked about the Messiah who would be born and that who would come to save Israel and the world from their sins.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Wise Men Know What's Happening. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Wise Men Know What's Happening.
We'd ask that you open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, we read the story of the wise men, how that they had traveled from the east. These individuals were astronomers. They studied the stars. And one evening, an unusual star popped up. And God was in that star. And God led these individuals on a long journey. And as they traveled this time, they came to the place where Christ was, and by this time he was no longer a babe in the manger, but he was a young child. And the Bible says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced and were exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And I want to speak to you on this subject today. Wise men know what's happening. Wise men know what's happening. As I look at the Christmas season, there are three types of people. There are those who watch things happen. There are those who make things happen. And there are those who have no idea what's happening. As we look around us, we can watch things happen. We can come and listen to a sermon. We can come and hear the choir sing. We can go and watch a play. We can watch TV specials with Charlie Brown and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We can watch things happen. We can make things happen. We can go shopping. We can put up Christmas lights. We can cook meals. We can buy gifts. So we can watch things happen and we can make things happen. Or we can sit back and have no idea what in the world is happening. And there are a lot of people that during Christmas, they will watch things happen and they will make things happen, but they have no idea what's happening. I remember when my daughter was in high school and she was in a Christmas concert. And I went to this concert, and to my amazement and surprise, at a secular high school, some of the songs that they sang, and I had a hard time believing this one right here, "Lift Up Your Heads, O Ye Gates." They sang that one. They sang "In Excelsis Deo." There was even one song, "I Believe in Jesus." And to top it all off, you know what they sang. You know what they sang in a secular high school, the Hallelujah Chorus. And I sat back and I thought, here are some people who are making things happen. They are singing the songs of God. And here's a whole audience of people that are sitting back and they are watching things happen. But there was a whole lot of people there that evening that had absolutely no idea what was happening. You had people singing about Jesus. You had people hearing the words of songs exalting Jesus being sung. But most of the people, whether they were watching or whether they were participating, most of them had no idea of what was going on. We see that the wise men that we look at today, they fell into all three categories. They watched things happen, they made things happen, and praise God, they knew what was happening. Somebody made this observation. You know, these wise men, they, you know, came and they followed the star and they ended up in Jerusalem. And then later on, they had to make their way down into Bethlehem. And somebody said, what would have happened if it would have been three wise women instead of three wise men? And somebody said, number one, they would have asked directions and went straight to Bethlehem. Number two, they would have arrived on time. Number three, they would have helped with the birth. Number four, they would have cleaned the stable. Number five, they would have baked the casserole. And number six, they would have brought practical gifts, such as diapers and baby bottles and things of that nature. But we see these were wise men. I'm going to say a little bit more about the wise men later on, because there wasn't just three. You know, the indication is that there was way more than three. The first thing that we see, point number one, we see that wise men watch things happen. Look at verses 1 and 2. Wise men watch things happen. First of all, they kept their eyes on the star. They watched the star. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Now once again, notice there that it doesn't say three. It says wise men, plural, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Indication is from a lot of the scholars that when these wise men from the east, that whenever they traveled, actually they took with them protection. So it wouldn't have just been the wise men that were traveling, but there would have been a whole entourage of camels and soldiers that escorted these wise men from the east as they came to worship Christ. So when we consider this, you know, first of all, we need to get out of our mind that it was just three, that there was probably a whole entourage that came to worship Christ. And they came bearing these gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and brought them to the Christ. But they kept their eyes as they traveled. They watched the star. Here were individuals that studied for their profession the stars. And can you imagine how that night after night when they looked up in the sky, that they would see all these stars? Now keep in mind, notice I said these individuals were astronomers. And they didn't read the horoscope now, and they didn't write the horoscope. They weren't taking advice from Miss Cleo or anybody like that. But they, you know, studied the stars. And in their study of the stars, they were like astronomers. And so can you imagine how that one evening as they studied the stars, and all of a sudden a star came into the sky. And this star was different than any other star. And this star caught their attention. And as I began to think about this, you know, what was it about this star that they knew? Now, I have a couple slides down. If you'll put that up, and the title of the slide is, how did the wise men know about the Messiah? How did the wise men know about the Messiah?
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, my friends. I'm just coming to say that I appreciate those of you who listen and support the radio broadcast.
We are grateful for your support and words of encouragement. I'm coming to you at the end of this year to ask if you would consider giving a special gift to Anchored in Jesus Ministries. It would truly be a blessing to us. All the people who serve in this ministry are volunteers. Neither do I receive a salary. 100% of what you give to Anchored in Jesus goes to airtime for the radio broadcast. Let me share with you a brief statement from one of our listeners. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me. So many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I'm in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during a especially trying time in my life. May God continue to bless you, strengthen and encourage you. Your giving helps get this message out to our listeners. I would appreciate any help that you can give us at this year end. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can go to anchoringinjesusministries.org, or you can contact us at Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Thank you for listening to Anchored in Jesus, and we would like to ask that you prayerfully consider blessing us with a financial gift during this season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
What would have even put in their mind that they should venture out and go search for this Messiah? Well, there are four things that probably was true. Number one, Daniel, the prophet, lived in the land where the wise men were. And if you go back and read Daniel chapter 9, you will read about the fact that Daniel prophesied about a Messiah. Daniel talked about the Messiah who would be born and that who would come to save Israel and the world from their sins. And so these scriptures were probably passed down from Daniel, because you remember, even when the Jewish people started coming back to Jerusalem, Daniel never came back. Daniel stayed there. And so he probably passed on these scriptures down to others. And so these wise men from the prophecy of Daniel knew that a Messiah was coming. And so when they saw the star, they were alerted in their heart that, maybe this is the Messiah that Daniel talked about. They may have been familiar with Numbers chapter 24, verses 17 through 19, which says that there would be a star that would come out of Jacob. And so as they read these scriptures, and keep in mind that, you know, these wise men were most likely not Jewish people, but they were Gentile individuals. But yet and still, what did they do? And there's a lesson for all of us. And as we had the Advent reading this morning, as we sang the song, one of the things that it said is that they studied and they knew the word. And as they studied, so these were some godly magi. These were some godly wise men. And you know, we have a lot of wise men in our world today. You know, we have people with PhDs and people with master degrees and people with three or four bachelor's degrees, and they have a lot of the world's wisdom, but they can't see the wisdom of God. Thank God for a group of wise men who not only had the papers, but they had the wisdom of God in their heart, and they studied the scripture. And they may have studied Numbers 24, 17, which describes that star that would come out of Jacob. And they may have been aware of the passage in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 through 6, where it says kings would come from other nations and they would bring gold and frankincense to the Messiah. So we ask the question, where did they get the idea, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, where did they get the idea of bringing gold and incense to the Messiah? Well, if they read Isaiah 60, verses 3 through 6, it said that the kings, when they came to the Messiah, that they would bring gold and frankincense. And somebody said, well, in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 through 6, how come it doesn't say myrrh over there? Well, I'm going to get into that, and I'm going to answer that question a little bit later, too. So we see, how did the wise men know about the Messiah? They could have got it from Daniel. They could have read Numbers 24. They could have read Isaiah chapter 60. But the bottom line is that God revealed it to them. God put the star in the sky so that the wise men could see it and they could follow it and they could worship Christ. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, they watched things happen. They kept their eyes on the stars. Verses 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men, they watched things happen. They kept their eye on the star. There was a young boy and his father, and they were riding down the street. And this was during World War II. And as they were driving down the street, they drove past a row of houses where there were a lot of Christmas decorations. And in many of the windows, there was a single star in the window. And the little boy said to his father, "Daddy, why do some people have a star in the window?" And the dad said, "Son, it's because they probably have a child that's fighting in the war." And so they rode on a little bit further, and the little boy looked up in the sky, and he saw a star that was shining in the sky. And he said to his dad, he said, "Look, Daddy, God must have a son in the war too." And I'm here to tell you that part of Christmas, when we think about Jesus being born, he was a son that was put in the war for us. Oh, I love the song that says, "There's a line that is drawn through the ages. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, the battle is raging to gain a man's soul or its loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with its force in the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness, he cries, 'It is finished! The battle is over. It is finished! There'll be no more war. It is finished! The end of the conflict. It is finished! And Jesus is Lord.'" Yes, in my heart, the battle was still raging. Not all the prisoners of war had come home. There were battlefields of my own making, and I didn't know that the war had been won. But then I heard about the King of the ages who fought all the battles for me, and that victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise the Lord, I am free. In my heart, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. When I look up in the sky and I see the star, when the wise men saw the star, they didn't know all that it was about, but one thing they knew is that God had a son in the war, and that God's son was going to fight the battle for me and for you. The wise men, they watched what was happening. They watched the stars, and they kept their eyes on God. Look at verse 12. The wise men watched what was happening, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Are you watching God this morning? Do you have your eyes on the Lord? It's so easy for us to be distracted. It's so easy for us to take our focus off of God. I was sharing with some people a couple of weeks ago how that I got up and I had spent a wonderful time. I spent about 3 hours with God. I mean, man, it was a blessing. I read the scripture and I prayed, and it was an awesome time with God. And I was coming over here to the church. And as I was coming to the church, I came to a light where the traffic was just backed up. And there were people in the other lane that wanted to cross over and make a turn. And so I stopped, being the gentleman that I am, to let people turn so that I didn't want to pull in the intersection and block it so they couldn't get through. So I stopped and I was letting people come through. And while I'm sitting there, somebody behind me is blowing. And I looked in the window and it was a lady blowing and shaking her fist. And being that I had my time with God that morning, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, that when the rest of the cars started to go, I just stayed there. And that made her even worse. And she tried to pull around, and I sped up. And as soon as I did that, Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong." And right there, I repented, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And what am I trying to say? It's that easy. You can lose your focus. That quick, you can take your eyes off of God and get caught up in the flesh. See, you know, one thing, I try to be real with y'all. Now, I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to tell the real deal. And I had to repent right there in my car. I felt about that big. I said, "Man, come on. Now, what if that lady, you know, I got license plate on the back of my car. It says Koheleth. And you know what that means? See, if she knew Hebrew, then she would know what it means. That's Hebrew from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, where it says the words of the Koheleth. The words of the what? The preacher. So that's what the license plates on the back of my car mean. The preacher. And I said, "Now, what if this lady knew Hebrew?" But it's so easy to take your eyes off the Lord. And that's why, saints, we got to be on guard at all times. And we can learn a lesson from the wise men. And that is, the wise men kept their eyes on the Lord. And they stayed focused on Him. The wise men watched things happen. The wise men knew what was happening. They knew three things. First of all, they knew that the Messiah was born. The wise men knew that the Messiah was born. Look at real quick, if you look, John chapter 1.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Wise Men Know What's Happening. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Wise Men Know What's Happening, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Wise Men Know What's Happening. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Wise Men Know What's Happening. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.